Well, we just were in John 6 in the morning Sunday school, and so the morning service. Cheryl, just a minute. Listen, we want to get a song from you before you go out. Oh, she was scooting out of there. Glad I got her. Came back. I love that song. Now we can open up to John chapter 4, if you will. John chapter 4, and I preached on this many times, the woman at the well, and this time we're going to center on the idea of the living water. Verse 7 says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were going away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith a woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Muhammad Ali said this, My mother was a Baptist. She believed Jesus was the Son of God, and I don't believe that. But even though my mother had a religion different from me, I believe that on Judgment Day, my mother will be in heaven. If you're Jewish and lead a good life, when you die, I believe you are going to heaven. If you're a good Muslim, if you're a good Christian, if you're a good person, I believe you are going to heaven. End quote. That's what is called universalism. Everybody's going to heaven that's good and sincere. Now here's the truth. The truth is that Christianity is an exclusive religion. The belief that there is one God and only one way to heaven, that stands at the very center of the Christian gospel. Now, first of all, this morning, I want you to see this. There is a confrontation with the Savior. Jesus initiated the confrontation. He needed to go through Samaria so he could confront this Samaritan woman. And when the woman arrived at the well, Jesus began a conversation and a confrontation that is initiated by God leads to a situation where the person has an opportunity to trust Christ as Savior. This confrontation was considered inappropriate by everyone except Jesus. There was a racial element here of the Samaritan people and the Jews who had no dealings with one another. The woman, in fact, questioned why a Jew would ask her for a drink. John even notes that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And still today, Jesus will go wherever there's a need. And so, a need to conquer sin. He came, after all, to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus offers living water. And living water simply means water that is not stagnant and it is moving. A well of living water, symbolic of eternal life. So Jesus offers living water in verse 10 and symbolizing eternal life through the intercession of the Holy Spirit. Living water is a gift of God. All those who are thirsty may drink of this living water. And Jesus is the source, the only source of living water. The Amazon River is the largest river in the world. The mouth of the Amazon is 90 miles wide, and the flow of the Amazon River equals the Nile River, the Mississippi River, and the Ganges River all together. They've detected the currents of the Amazon River 200 miles out into the Atlantic Ocean. And the irony of ancient sailors was that in the windless waters of the South Atlantic, sometimes their ship would become immobilized for one reason or another, and unable to sail. And another ship would pass by, going the other direction. And they would say, "Hey, you got any water to spare? Our sailors are dying of thirst." And the other captain would say, "Hey, man, just dip your bucket down into the mouth of the mighty Amazon River. There's all the water you want." Reminds me of that old sailor saying, "Water, water everywhere, nary a drop to drink." And so, a woman did not recognize the source of living water. She's standing right next to Jesus, but she didn't recognize the source. Just as sailors were in the midst of all that drinkable water, but they did not recognize it. And there's so many people today who are right in the midst of Jesus, and yet they don't understand that He's the Savior. They're lost. And we give that spiritual application. Not only that, but salvation requires a confrontation with sin. We must have a confrontation with sin, because we tend to believe that actually we're all pretty good people. You might remember that newscaster who was questioning Donald Trump. And the newscaster said to Donald Trump, "Have you ever prayed for forgiveness?" And Donald Trump said, "No, I didn't think I needed forgiveness." And such were some of you. We don't pray for forgiveness until we recognize that we're a sinner. And we're not going to recognize that we're a sinner until we come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit revealing to us we're lost, all of us would be on our way to hell. And so, salvation is more than a decision. Too many people have simply made a decision for Jesus without regarding sin. Without confronting sin and the fact that we're born sinners, there's no possibility of being saved. I sin because I'm a sinner. And so until I'm willing to come to terms with that fact, salvation is always going to be out of reach for anyone who does not recognize themselves as being lost. Not only that, but salvation causes a transformation from within. Verse 28 tells us, "The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Is not this the Christ?'" So as a result of recognizing that she was a sinner and recognizing Jesus Christ as the Savior, this woman was gloriously saved. The Bible says she went away and to the place where she came from and told everyone about Jesus and the fact that they needed to come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Revival broke out, no doubt. It's a beautiful story, one of the most beautiful in all the Bible. The woman at the well. Salvation causes a transformation from within. God does not leave us the way He found us. We come as we are, but we don't leave that way. We must acknowledge our sins and forsake them. We make a decision, say a prayer, but if there's no change in a person's life, then there's no genuine salvation. I had a preacher friend years ago who was knocking on doors, and he knocked on this fellow's door. He had a screen door. He could see inside the living room. The man was laying on a couch, and he had the TV going. The guy said, "Come on in." And so the preacher came in, and conversation got around to salvation, and the preacher asked this man if he wanted to be saved, and the fellow said yes. And so he prayed the sinner's prayer, and the preacher got up to leave. As he was leaving, he was thinking to himself, the guy never turned down the TV. The guy never got off the couch. He just stayed laying there on the couch. He says, I believe this most likely was one of my converts, and the Lord didn't have anything to do with it. That guy came to church the next Sunday, baptized, joined the church, became the song leader for 10 years in that church. There's going to be some kind of evidence that a person is saved. We don't just keep going the same way that we always have. There's going to be something that's going to change in a person's life. God cannot come and live inside your body and you not know about it. My dad had the filthiest mouth of anybody in Florida. When a person is just saved, they're not concerned about people over in Africa being saved. They're not concerned about people over in China being saved. I'll tell you who they're concerned about being saved right after they're saved. They're concerned about their moms and dads and uncles and aunts and brothers. Their family members. They're concerned about their family members being saved. And later on, as they mature in the Lord and as they grow in the Lord, they're concerned about people being saved that they've never even met on the other side of the earth. When I was saved at age 23, I was concerned about my dad being saved. God called me to preach a couple of weeks after I got saved, and so off to Texas I went, going to Bible college. One day I sat down at my desk and I wrote a deacon a letter 1,000 miles away, and I said, Brother Deacon, would you go to my dad's house and tell him how to be saved? He's on his way to hell, and he's going to die and go to hell if he doesn't get saved. That deacon got that letter, and he went to church on Sunday morning. That afternoon, he went over to my dad's house, and he visited him for 2 hours. Dad did not get saved that day, but the seed was planted. You see, every time we give out the gospel, we're doing one of two things. We're either sowing the seed or we're reaping the harvest. And so when I go into a church and no one gets saved, I have to say, I'm sowing the seed. Whenever I go into a church and I see people saved, I'm reaping the harvest of someone else sowing the seed. About 3 days later, 4 days, Dad kneeled down beside his bed and he trusted Christ as a Savior. A great change took place in Dad's life. Things that he hated, he now loved. Things that he loved, he now hated. Dad didn't cuss anymore, except for one time. Dad had a horse, and that horse stepped on his foot, and Dad cussed, and he took off his cowboy hat, and he said, Lord, forgive me for cussing. As far as I know, he never cussed again. You see, some kind of change takes place in a person's life. It's a transformation from within. Not from without. All transformations from without end in failure. We're changed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God makes us new in order to make us acceptable for heaven. Remember the prodigal son? And how that he turned his back upon sin, and how that he set his face towards his father, and And he decided that his mother's fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and corn on the cob was a whole lot better than that pig slop he was about to eat in the pigsty, which is a picture of sin. So we were once children of the world. Now we're children of God after we're saved. We're sinners destined for hell. Now we are believers with a home in heaven. So like the woman at the well, everyone needs to drink of that living water. And if you've not done that, friend, by all means do that this morning. And that will require us to come face to face with Jesus Christ. I'm going to draw for you living water right now. Let's have all the lights out, please. Cheryl's message was longer than mine. Okay, let's have the lights on, please. There you go, Cheryl. Oh, she left in the other park. You know, after 38 years, it's lucky to have these kind of things together.
my soul they satisfy, drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, wonderful. to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by
How about you, friend? Have you had the living water? Lights on, please. If not, you can this morning by trusting Christ as Savior. I wonder if there's a man or a woman or a boy or girl here this morning who might say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven when I die. I don't really know where I'm going to go. Would you include me in the prayer today?" Is there somebody like that? Just lift up your hand and put it down. I want to include you in the prayer. Man, woman, or young person, anyone today? Now, Father, we're grateful for your goodness. You continue to bless us even though we don't deserve it. We pray that you'd help us to share the gospel all around us with men and women and boys and girls who are lost and without Christ as Savior. Give us strength and power for service. We'll give thee the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing "Just As I Am" as we sing that song. Maybe you just like to come pray this morning. You're welcome to come. Maybe you need to join this church. Whatever. You come as we sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. Come on.
Just as I am without one plea. Thank you for the gospel that's full and free. Thank you for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and is available to any. that believe in him. I pray that you'd we just express our gratitude toward thee more often. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, thank you so much.